This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I guess one of the pet peeves of atheists against people of religion is the people of religion's assumption that atheists don't have any ethics, right? Which is not true, right? Like their whole thing is their foundation of ethics is not rooted in a particular religion, but within the area of social structure and order. I guess my question to you is how do you engage on a discussion of ethics and morality with somebody who is not based in any religion?
We start off by recognizing that, for example, what we teach in Paradise and Hellfire, yeah, this is not for the atheist, because the foundation here is, as I already addressed, is the Quran and Sunnah, right? So, but we showed how, very briefly, in maybe 60 seconds or less, why we are intellectually justified in using this foundation for our beliefs, right?
Yeah.
That's a different discussion in terms of atheists. Atheists, and they are of varying types, and there are so many types of atheists, and sometimes they don't even know that they're what kind of atheist they are, positive, negative, strong, weak.
Is it fair to assume in relation to somebody who claims to be atheist that, at least the way I see it, is most atheists are not really true atheists? They're more agnostic than they are atheists?
Yeah, a lot of atheists are actually agnostic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the reality is that for many of them, they don't know where morality comes from, right? So they may say whatever is predominant socially, but that's not objective, right? That's not a fact. That's relative. That's an opinion. Because if you took all of society and you said, is killing an innocent person objectively wrong, like immoral, they should say yes. If they say no, we have a problem. If they say yes, based on what? Right, objectivity in terms of morality has to come from an objective source. Social constructs are not objective. And in fact, that's very problematic for so many reasons amongst them. People in the past used to agree on things that today...
I mean, that's the problem in politics, right? People will say that that the culture changes and the laws should be respective to the changes in culture. Which, like, no, right? Because that same person would be okay with segregation, for example, in the time in which it was a law, because it was culturally acceptable. But that same person is against segregation because it's culturally unacceptable. So the question then is, how much does culture influence laws, or should it be the other way around?
Morality, your beliefs literally affect everything else. Okay. I do not believe that there is such thing in, even in academia, generally speaking, aside from very few disciplines, when it comes to the humanities, laws, when it comes to history, when it comes to morals, politics, everyone has some moral belief or bias or inclination, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But there is no such thing as being amoral, because you do have a stance on something, or on even if you claim to be neutral. It's like an agnostic thinking that, hey, I'm not a believer or a disbeliever. Well, no. Do you believe in God? Well, no, I'm not sure that then you are not a believer. They are considered disbelievers, for example.
Yeah.
There is no neutrality when it comes
to
morals.
It's almost like in the area of journalism, right? In theory, you're supposed to be unbiased, but like the biases really come through based on their, I guess, political leanings and backgrounds across the board. And I think it's kind of like the same thing in this regard.
Yeah, oftentimes it leaks into whatever you're writing, reporting. Obviously, every type of journalism is different. If it's something minor, local incident, they're just reporting the facts. That's one thing.
Right.
But even then, there's sometimes other issues that come up. But generally speaking, yeah, we would start with, like I take on maybe 3 to 5 cases of personal conversations with atheists or ex-Muslims, not necessarily atheists, on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And they're great conversations. I enjoy the one-on-ones. And a lot of times they open up about what they feel is a shortcoming in their approach. And I usually show them why the methodology is problematic. The way that they're thinking and reaching conclusions, it's based on a wrong premise or the wrong start. Wrong foundation. And amongst them is morality. It always leaves them speechless, because if you claim that there is objective morality, you can't do so without belief that it's coming from God. Everything else falls apart in philosophy. The same goes for other issues, not just proving that there's objective morality? How do you live your life according to morality? If it's going to be general morality, like don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, yeah, we can agree on a few things. But let's get into some serious examples like alcohol, intoxication, causing so much harm and evil in the world. Do you believe that to be evil? Do you believe it to be immoral? Or do you believe that it's morally permissible, that it's ethical?
Right.
And how do you know that? If you make any claim, here's another problem.
Yeah.
Atheists cannot make claims about God and religion without a foundation. And so what they previously used to justify leaving religion,
yeah,
and now they have no reference point?
I guess the strongest argument that atheists have, which is not really an argument, but it's more like, because this was like the atheists will base, and I've seen this so many times in an academic setting, where like two professors, and they deliberately make like one professor like a hardcore God-believing Christian, and the other guy like a hardcore atheist, right? And this one class was on, it was on the neuroplasticity of the mind in relation to marketing and advertising, which was one of the classes that we took. And in the end, I think it was a session, and the professor, the atheist professor goes to the Christian professor, you can't prove that God exists. And the Christian goes, and you can't prove that he doesn't exist. And the atheist is like, yeah, hey, you're right. I can't prove that he doesn't exist. And I think the issue with, but the moral objectivity, because one of the things that you find common within the space of, at least in from my field background, is that, especially in the space of advertising, I guess to lower, to reduce the brunt of it, if some, for example, alcohol, they call it the marketing of vices, right? And they're like, we love our vices. Right. And so now in a way, when you say something is a vice, yeah, you know, it's bad, but it's not nearly as something that's as stinging as haram. Right. So the question then is, does objective morality in the vernacular that's used, i.e. vices and virtues, is there a relationship, or do you discuss that at all or no?
SubhanAllah, one of the ways in which shaitan works, obviously through human beings and through thousands of years of efforts in ways we can't really imagine, is through language.
Yeah.
How we label certain things and feel about certain things. So when cultural norms change, morality changes with those cultural norms. When you label something as adult entertainment rather than... a number of problems, like, diverse. I don't even know where to begin with the 20 different issues that arise when we talk about pornography or prostitution or sex trafficking or underage. Like, there's just so many different things, and the destruction of marriages and the brain and the addictions. So the labels that people use are very interesting. And it's interesting to see some of the overlap between like morality, cultural norms, the psychology of marketing, you know, how things are marketed, and obviously to each society, they see things differently.
Yeah.
There were Christians before that actually do not believe that it is permissible to consume alcohol beyond just for ritual purposes.
Okay.
And actually, in fact, many Christian moms in the early 1900s were the proponents of the prohibition in the U.S.
Right.
Which was very interesting because they saw some of the damaging effects of that. But anyways, long story short, in terms of talking to an atheist, we would have to find some common ground to begin with something. And usually, before delving into a secondary issue like morality, because yeah, morality is all secondary, you have to start off with methodology. How okay. do you know what you know? How do you know?
Like, was
what
it called epistemology or something like that?
Epistemology.
Yeah, I hate that word.
You do? Yeah, it's a fancy sounding word. All
it's
you
a
really
very
need
fancy
to know.
Sounding word, and you have to spend 20 minutes explaining to the person what that means.
How do you know what
you
know?
Okay.
And I just want to correct one other thing though. That example that was given of the atheist professor and the Christian professor saying you can't prove he exists, and then he said, well, you can't prove he doesn't exist. The Christian professor is true. Science cannot disprove God, right? Otherwise, it's not science
yeah.
anymore. It's
a tool. I mean, it was a science class.
Yeah, but science can't disprove God. This is true. And this is why atheism has many issues. That's just one. But I don't know if that was his immediate response, but I would have disagreed with the atheist professor when he said, you can't prove that God exists. I would have asked, what do you mean by proof? On what terms are you using the word proof? Because if somebody claims, you can't prove to me, for example, that there's a sun, right? And you ask, how do you want me to prove it to you? And they say, well, you have to do so at nighttime or whatever they say. Well, you might say, well, that's not the right approach to proving things. Your entire premise of proof is wrong. Right? So they're saying...
I mean, if you talk about the existence of the sun, can you prove it at night? Sure, you can. Take a rocket up at nighttime and see that, hey, there's a sun.
Sure. So what does that mean? That means there's something in mind for that person, a tool, a methodology to prove things, right?
Right.
But in terms of religion and science and God, what many most atheists inclined to is empiricism and science as the tool to prove or disprove God.
I mean, that's generally, I mean, it's one of two things, right? What you said is empiricism. Can you observe it, right? That's one. And the other, in some form, right? And the other factor has to do with, is there something that you could do, maybe not be able to observe it in some form, but can you reduce the doubt in relation to it, right? You know, the famous Carl Sagan quote about science's objective is simply to reduce doubt in a particular area. You're not going to know anything, but at least you'll be less doubtful about a certain matter.
And that's the thing, though. There are many atheists who became believers in God. They left atheism sometimes after decades.
Yeah.
These were philosophers of science and scientists because of science. Like their argument was like Anthony Flew. Science spotlights different areas that prove the existence of God. And so for them, it is clearly working. For others, it is not working. That means we have to ask, what's wrong with the methodology here? Why is it reaching different conclusions? Why are we not finding the same conclusion? There are other potential factors, like how we're reasoning. Reason is another one, like rationalism. And also the internal state. Like, what's your starting foundation in terms of, it's called a priori knowledge, your belief that there's necessary foundational knowledge.